the Lord has given us. Pray for your preacher this morning. It's a message that God's put on the heart. And sometimes it's hard, it hits us all in the face, but it's an important message that we're not hearing in today's times. It so much needs to be preached from the pulpits. Amos chapter number 4. The old devil likes it when it gets quiet in church, don't he? If you love the Lord this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That'd run him off.
Amen.
Amen.
Get on out of here.
That's right. Get on out of here. Let's boot him out the side door. He likes it when it's quiet in church. I'm glad we can come and we can praise and we can worship. Amos chapter number 4. When he finds your place, say amen.
Amen.
All right. First verse says, "Hear this word, ye kind of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by His holiness, that lo, the day shall come upon you, that He will take you away with hooks, with posterity, with fish hooks. And ye shall go out of the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel, and transgress at Gilgal. Multiply transgressions, and bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving for leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, and there were yet three months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece of rain was upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come upon your nostrils. Yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were the firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formed the mountains, and created the wind, and declared unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name." Will you pray with us this morning? Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for this opportunity and privilege to be at your house with your people. God, we pray that you just touch us this morning and breathe on us, God. Would you anoint us and help us, Father, to preach the scriptures, Father. We pray, God, that you just be with each heart. Stir us this morning and help us, Lord, at where we struggle, where we fall short. Father, that we would walk closer to you. God, I pray if there's anyone here that's lost, would you draw them in and save them before it be too late. God, would you stir all our hearts this morning, for we sure do need you. Father, we're nothing without you. We love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for sending Jesus in that march up Calvary's Hill to pay our sin debt. And we ask it all in Jesus' sweet name we do pray. Amen and amen. This morning, now this chapter of Amos, it gives us some thoughts here this morning about how the people would be brought into captivity. It tells us about these people and the life that they were living. The Bible describes them as cows, and it says that they were in a place of Bashan. And those of you that know in your Bible, where it talks about that was a well-fertile area, very cold. They were well-fed. They were, they were describing them as women. It said they were perfect, they were sleek, they had everything going their way. And he said, you know what? He said, you've acted in this way, and you brought it up to your leaders, to your masters. That's what it says, right? And it says that you have gained your wealth and everything that you have, because what did it say? It says you crushed the needy. You've oppressed the poor. The way you look down on people, you took from people to bring what you got, the wealth that you got. And it says that Amos there, he went on in verse, what was it, verse 5 and 7, I believe, verse 4 and 5. It says that there was a false worship. He said that they had idol worship. They worshiped everything but God. He said, bring your tithe, bring your offering, bring all the stuff that you had. And he said, then you can come to church. So what he was saying was, he was using a little sarcasm. And he said, everything you got is because of these mistreated people. You tried to oppress them, You stepped on them. You've not held in a higher God. You're all the other devil people. You have trained people for all their time. Now bring all the stuff to the Lord. He said, maybe that'll work. And then he said, you know what? I'm going to tell you now. He said, the Lord fixed to have some meat. The Lord told us in these few verses about chastisement that they brought and lift up. Look at verse 6. He wanted to bring corrective measures to get their attention again. He said, this is, I can't get your attention the way that you're doing, the way that you're living. He said, let me try something else to see if I can get your attention. Verse 6, it says that he sent a famine in the land. He said, there'll be a plainness of change, there'll be a hope of bread, but then you're not going to have nothing to eat. There's going to be a shortage there. I believe it's in verse 7 and 8, he talks about a drought. He said, I'll send a drought. But as we see with the famine, he returns to the Lord. He said, a drought. He said, oh, that rain went thin. He's not raining nothing. And when he comes, you won't be satisfied with what you need. But yet, you're still not returning to him.
Right.
Then he takes up some blasting and mildew upon all the flesh. What that is that's a disease, and he said the locusts will eat them up. But still, they wouldn't come to him. And then he also talks about he'll send a pestilence to see if that gets your attention to wake them up. They still would not return to him. He said, I'll send war. You'll be overthrown. He said, you're going to lose life. He said, there'll be devastation all over your land. Just like in Sodom and Gomorrah, when it was destroyed, he said, it's the same thing burning. Yet they still not return to God. So here we go. Verse 12. Let's read it again. What did he tell them in verse 12? Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee. Then listen to his solemn warning God gave him. He said, prepare to make thy God in Israel. He said, I'm going through all these measures to try to get your attention, to try to wake you, to try to get you to open your eyes, open your heart. And he said, this show. He said, this ain't salvation, son, this show. He said, prepare. He said, prepare. We are living today in a generation that states they'll live forever, that nothing can go wrong, that nothing will happen. I was watching a TV show when he was interviewing this old boy, and what he was, he was part of this movement, and I believe it's his people, whatever it was. He was in this movement that wants to control everything. And what they're doing, they're going about everything the wrong way. They're goofy, they're agenda, what they believe. And then he was doing today, he said, you know what? Zach was coming to warn you. And he said, you don't worry about me, Dad. He said, ain't nothing going to kill me. Ain't nothing to take me. He said, I'll live forever. And I could not believe that boy was talking like that. But we're living in a generation where they think that nothing's going to happen. And I remember that day, this younger generation. I always thought that I would be fine. I could handle anything that would ever come my way. That whatever it is, as long as I was ready to meet it, I could take whatever it is. It don't matter what kind of bunker she built, what kind of these people is prepared for doomsday and stuff like that. Only preparation you got to make is accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And once you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you are prepared for whatever comes your way. I got to get your attention. And I want to give you a few reasons today of why it's so important to prepare to meet God. Number one, there's an uncertainty in life. Job in 7:6, he called it swiftness. You remember, he said, my days are swifter than a wheel show. And you know what that is? Anybody else has said it? He said it's as rapid as the web is flowing back and forth. Job 7:14, verse 1. And soon he's talking about man is born of a woman in a few days and full of trouble. And he goes on to talk about it like the flowers that are cut down. James chapter number 4 asks the question when he says, what is your life?
He asked questions. What is your life? What is my life? What is your life?
Says the evil man that appeared for a little time and vanished away. It don't matter if you live to be 80 years old. Your life is a vapor when it's compared to eternity. And we're not promised tomorrow.
And that's why James says, what is your life? What have you done with your life? What kind of preparations have you made? I'm not talking about today if you're investing or you're spending the 401k, all that stuff, that's good enough for the thing I do. But what kind of preparations have you made for eternity?
Are you ready to meet God?
I'm not sure I'm saying this morning, I'm going to be sure we're all happy. Somebody today could be, this could be today that you're going to meet God.
Oh, preacher, you just trying to scare us. No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. Today might be the day that I'm going to meet God. Are you ready? Are you really ready? There's an uncertainty in life. James asked that question.
He said, what is your life?
He said, there's secrets of life.
Proverbs chapter number 27, let me read this verse. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
You better pay attention to that.
This Bible talks about he's a citizen. He has all resources to control his own destiny, is what that's doing. You don't control your own destiny. You know, people say that. Let's just leave it to destiny. Let's leave it to chance. Let's see if it's in the cards.
Tell you something. You better be prepared to meet God.
How has God got your attention?
Well, preacher, there's been a lot going on with me this week, this month, this year. There's a whole lot going on.
Maybe that's God trying to get your attention. God always gives warning. I'm going to talk about things. I'm going to say, well, I wait for God to come in a few. I wait for God to stand on the other. I wait for God to yell in my ear. Maybe God has told you some things, and He gave you a warning that your time is drawing near.
Then again, you might have another 20 years out of God. But your life is a vapor today. There's a certainty in life. But you know what there also is? Another certainty. There's also a certainty in life.
Romans chapter 5.
Wherefore, if one man sinned into the world, and then death. And then death.
Death is universal. Death don't care your background. Death don't care your color. Death don't care if it's old or if you're young. Death don't care if you're moral or if you're afraid. Death comes to everybody. Death has hit everybody but two people in life.
In your life, there's only two people that can see death and walk straight down.
And he walked up alive in the chariot of the chariot.
The only two people, everybody else, died.
See, it tells us that there's a rival to death. There's also Hebrews 9:27, there's a point to death.
He says, it's appointed for men to die. You know what your spouse says after that? And then the judgment.
So not only is there a certainty of death, there's a certainty of judgment this morning. What's the Bible say about that judgment? It tells us that all things will appear in judgment seat. All will appear for themselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I'll read this verse right here. You're going to write this down. You can turn it over.
It's good verses this morning. 2 Corinthians 5, 10.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Therefore, let us see the things done in his body according as he has done, whether it be good or bad.
All will appear. Not all will appear.
All will answer when it is just a sin.
You see, nobody can take your place to go to the judgment seat. Well, there ain't nobody answers for you. You remember when we were younger and we didn't want to order, we didn't want to do something, we didn't want to make all the fun of it. We didn't want to jump on the call nobody. We wanted mom to do it. We wanted dad to do it. Or you remember when we wanted to always spend it out with somebody else, we just that other person. Well, if you call, I know they will say no. You just call. My mom will tell you no. She will say, we know. We get somebody else to do that. But when we get to the judgment seat, everybody is going to answer for themselves. Everybody will say it for themselves. You see, I love that place.
But I can't answer for you, and I can't stand in your place.
Nobody can.
As much as we love each other, as much as mom and dad loves you, as much as your spouse loves you, as much as your kids love you, there is nobody else standing in your place. There's nobody else that's going to answer for you. They and you will answer for you. You don't answer for me. No, I'll answer for you. We are going to be like that. You'll answer for yourself. There's a time coming when it will be the judgment seat. The judgment seat is for those that are saved. The Bible talks about that, and also in, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, I wrote this there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about rewards for service in the area. Those are faithful service. He said there'll be rewards. Or the Bible has called praise.
Yes.
There'll be those faithful service. Rewards for heaven. What you've done in the name of Jesus.
Right.
And let me tell you something today. You rob yourself of so many blessings when you don't live life to the fullest for God when you get saved. A lot of people think, well, all I have to do is come and be saved. Everything's great and glorious. Yes, you have made you a place in heaven because Jesus comes to that when you get saved. But if you are missing blessings when you don't live with God, the start of your life is not the day you were born, but the day you get saved is the start of your life, right? That's where life really starts from there. That's where you really start living. And you rob yourself of blessings. You rob yourself of blessings when you don't turn on that good gospel music. When you don't show up at church. When revivals and stuff are not important. When meetings are not important. When reading your Bible is not that important. Well, I won't pick it up on Sunday. The preacher's going to read that. But I'm going to finish this Sunday school. So I'll get my Bible then. You are robbing yourself of blessings when you don't spend time with God. And let me tell you something, life is hard. You better show up all the time you get to God. And the best thing I like about God is as much time as you want to spend with Him, He wants to spend that time back there.
Amen.
He wants to spend it with you.
Yeah.
You see, nobody ever cared for me like Jesus did. Nobody has ever cared for you like Jesus does. He's the one that loves us. And this Lord, He loves us with an everlasting love. I can't say I have an everlasting love for anybody else. Things can happen. Faith can happen with our spouses, faith can happen with our kids, and we would hope that we'd have an unconditional love. But I can't sit up here and promise you that my love is everlasting. But God is. God is. There's a certainty of life. There's a certainty of death. There's a certainty of judgment. The Bible says the sinner, the saints shall be judged. See, but listen to this. The sinner will appear with the great white throne of judgment. Look at Revelation chapter 20. I want you to get these verses this morning. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. Sinners will appear at the great white throne. Look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne with him that sat on the throne. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. The Bible tells us that the sinners, when they get the great white throne judgment, they will see the face of God. They'll see the face of God. This room around here, we have no fear. All of if we end up going to hell, it'd be a big party, and my friends would be there. No. Someday like that. Everybody is going to see God. The Bible says, thanks to me, again, the sinners are still going to meet God. They're still going to meet God. You're not going to heaven if you're lost. But you do go meet God. And the Bible teaches us that they'll see the face of God. They'll also see the facts of God. Look in verse 12 through 14. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works, whether they accepted Jesus or they rebelled against Jesus. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. There's facts about it. Now, stay with me on this. There's also the faith of God, the facts of God, the finality of God. Look in verse number 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire. So that tells us, what does that tell us about the certainty of judgment? Not only is there a certainty of judgment, there's a certainty of eternity. There's a certainty of eternity. You see, you will live forever in one or two places. You will live forever.
A lot of people talk about how scared they are of death. I just don't understand it. And you know what the problem is? Let me tell you something about being saved, about heaven, about your Bible. The devil always wants you to understand everything before you accept the faith of God. He always says that you must understand. There's some things that you just don't understand. And you don't have to understand. You don't have to understand anything about salvation. Just the angel becomes heaven. The Bible says he'll save you. When you confess, when you repent, then you come to salvation. The devil wants to twist it. You can't be one. Well, I can't be saved. You've done way too far. You've done too much. Lord, you used to never walk in a church house. This people look down on you. This people will judge you. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about you. That's what God thinks and what God does. When you come to church, you're here for God this morning. We're not here. We are here for each other. We'll see each other, encourage each other, love each other, right? We'll fellowship, we'll next check in. We want to ask God how good we do. We want to do that. We want to come to church for each other. But we are here for church to praise and worship God.
Amen.
That's what we're here for.
Amen.
I would say, I'm here at church this morning. But you know what? I come to church to meet God.
Amen.
And I need God to help me, and I need God to strengthen me, and I need God to touch me. You know why? Because I know one day eternity is coming. And I'm prepared. I've said this to myself. I'm prepared. Now, what does it say about eternity? It's certain. Every person will live forever in one of these places. You will either enjoy the joys of heaven. Remember, Tommy touched on this morning, Revelation chapter 21. Look what, let me tell you what it says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there came no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with me. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Hallelujah, right there. Verse 4, God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is thirst of the fountain of the water of life free. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What about that? The joys of heaven. Joys of heaven. That's only for those that are saved. Well, preacher, that's eternity, ain't it? Yep, that's what I'm saying. What about the sinners? What about the lost sinners? Well, there it is in Luke. There it is in Luke chapter 16. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 16, the rich man Lazarus went off, died. The Bible says that the rich man went to hell. And then, let me tell you this, he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He didn't go to hell because he had money. Please, let's get that figured out. Don't think, well, I don't want to be rich anymore. I don't know what that means. But I tell you, the problem is you reject God, you trust the boy he's rich, and you never trust in God. And his day was coming. He said he was unprepared to meet God. And what did he face in hell? Well, I tell you, there was no light. There was no cameras, there was no disco balls, there was none of this stuff. There was no party going on down there. What the loudest, strange, best music going on that you could find on your radio station? It wasn't none of that. It wasn't all the moves going off. It wasn't all the little streamers shooting out there. It wasn't people. You know what? Even the devil is not even going on in the rain. He doesn't come there. Bible says he's going to be going into the place of fire. He don't remember keeping his own place. You know what it says out here? You listen to this. Let me give you some words of what it says. The Bible says there was torment. What did he say? What did the rich man say? He said in hell, verse 23 of Luke 16, in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. The Bible tells us there'll be burning. There'll be separation. What if the person inside you say and you're lost? And all the answer is there. What about holiness?
conviction by memory. All the times that you went to church and God gave you this opportunity, He was drawing you in to be saved. And you told Him no. You ran away. There'll be conviction there. There'll be thirst there. Thirst. What did Rich Smith say? He said, can I just have a drop of water? Cool my throat. There'll be a stench there. It's going to be fine. The thing about me is you won't burn up. I'm not simple. My sister and friend won't sit like a fire. If I'm just maintaining it and hold on, and I'll burn up and I'm going to go. But if I burn up, then you don't burn up. And you go. You just keep burning. There is no burning up. You just burn. You ever see a fire when you're close enough to it? But you ain't going to be just close to the fire. If you're here and you're lost, you're going to be in the fire. But you won't burn up. Tell them that there is eternity coming. There's a certain eternity coming. And you know where you're going. Today is your last day, and you know where you're going. Let me ask you something this morning. Are we living in the days when the Isaiah chapter 4? Has God tried to get your attention? Is God trying to wake you up? Maybe something's going on with your job. Maybe something's going on with your health. Maybe something's going on with your family. Maybe you're in need of some things and things like all of life fall apart. Let me tell you something. If you're back to God, God is giving you a second chance this morning. He's giving you a second chance. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Maybe you're here today and you're saved. You haven't lived your fullness to God. God's drawing you in. He's saying, I've got something for you this morning. Maybe you want to return to God. I always want to return to God. Let me tell you something because I live in a robe of flesh. I have to return to God every single day of my life.
Amen.
This flesh busts up against me. This flesh wants to cause problems. This flesh wants to divide things. This flesh wants to bring drama in different things. This flesh wants to act out. This flesh wants to be prideful. This flesh wants to be known about some things. That's the way the flesh does. The Spirit wants more and more of God. What are you serving today? What are you feeding today? Are you feeding the flesh or are you feeding the Spirit? Maybe God shook you up this week. Maybe God shook you up this morning. He told you. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Okay. You see, I can tell you for certain that today is your last day on earth. But I can't tell you it's not then. But I can tell you this. Are you prepared to meet Him? Are you prepared to meet Him? Miss Ryan, won't you come back to the hotel this morning? I got a question for you. I just want to know something. I'm going to read you a verse. This is the last verse. I want to read you something in that first show. You just start playing when you get up there, whatever you're going for. I'm going to read you 1 John chapter number 5. Verse 12 and 13. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath no life. Verse 13. These things have I written to you that you believe on the Son of God. Listen. That you may know. Chapter 5. That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I don't want to leave here this morning. You can't have this in all day. John sent that down to the Bible and said that you may know. I'm not asking you today, but I'm not asking you though. I'm not asking you if you know how to work with me, you know how to work with Lord, you know how to work with you, you know how to make a living. That's not what I want to know. What I want to know is, you know. I don't know about me. I don't know about you. I don't know about me.
You just got to come this morning. But it's up to you this morning.